It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, Paulie!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Monday, July 20th, 2026. Ever so close to Vacation Friday, Brother Jim. Not this Friday, though.
You're counting down.
Kinda. There's a problem with vacations in my business. When you're Paul Lavoie.
Yes. What might that be?
I have to find somebody to do the weather. Uh-huh. I have to find somebody to do the news. I have to find somebody to do traffic. And it's three different people.
Well, wait a minute. Traffic shouldn't be a big problem.
No.
That should be pretty easy.
Traffic and radio is scheduling, creating those things up there. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Commercial traffic.
I stand correct.
Right.
Not vehicular.
It's more, by the time you prep, for vacation, you're ready for 2 weeks instead of one. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Congratulations to Spain, who won the World Cup final yesterday. Just shut down Argentina. I was embarrassed for them.
So was that good? Was everybody
no
happy?
No shots in 90 minutes. Then they went into extra time. No shots by Argentina. I think they had one shot the whole game, the whole match.
My.
One. To 19. Spain had 19 shots on goal, like 12 on target.
So they just didn't want to play.
It was insane. But Saturday's game was the third place game, and England outlasted France 6-4. So that was like a tennis score. It was fun to watch. I just think England would have made for a much better opponent for Spain. But that's just my opinion. Anyway, it's Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Sí.
Right?
Sí.
All right. Did you want to translate that? Or
I just did.
Day of the Chiefs. All right. And we're not talking about the Kansas
Dia
City Chiefs
los
either.
Jefes.
Two Chiefs.
Si.
And we're not talking about the Kansas City Chiefs either. So we have Police Chief Troy Sterling in the house.
Good
Welcome,
morning.
Sir. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Good, good, good. And you haven't been here in a while. What's going on with you?
I don't know.
Meetings and conferences and...
Sure.
You've been traveling? Oh, so he tells his people to tell me stuff. I get it. What's up, Pete Palafis?
No, not too much.
Fire Chief Pete Palafis in the house. And, man, you're looking more svelte every time I see you. You know that?
You might have get your lunges checked.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm due.
Maybe the heat's getting to you.
He's kissing up for something.
Yeah. No, not really. You said you were in Bullhead City this weekend.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, no, I just attended a baseball tournament out there with my son. It was the River Riots, they called it. And it was, we got rained out on Friday because it was a Friday-Saturday tournament. And then we played four games on Saturday from 5 until 1 a.m.
Awesome.
Oh my.
So I didn't get home until roughly about 3:30 a.m. But
nice.
Ben did, his team did really well, won the championship 4-0. So
oh,
seven inning games, nine inning games.
No, these were, some of them were mercy rule, but
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. was roughly about 4 to 5 innings.
Okay.
It was plenty. A good competition. Had a great time. It was humid. Felt like I was back in Illinois there for a little bit and was like, ugh.
You had a question?
No.
Oh.
I was just reminiscing about how humid it was, how unpleasant that was.
So where did they play in Bullhead?
So they play at Rotary Park.
Okay.
It's an NCS tournament, so they just had a sponsor one where they have these ones at nights because of the weather. But since Friday, the monsoons came and hit Needles pretty bad in that area.
Yeah,
so
right. They were cleaning up all weekend.
Yeah, but I was actually impressed. On Saturday, it was pretty much cleaned up, cleared up, and it was just like, wow.
Saturday, huh?
Yeah.
Because they put out a notice that it was going to be through Monday.
Yeah, but, I mean, we actually traveled back there Saturday, and it was uneventful. I went through the Topak area, but it was all cleaned up, so it was nice.
Yeah. I got you. I miss tournaments, like soccer tournaments and that. It's true capitalism with some of those clubs, you know. Oh. They're selling things and reselling, you know, candy bars, oranges, sodas, you know. It's probably a lot different now, so. I imagine they're selling tofu.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of food trucks out there and stuff. But
right.
It was a great time. So.
I can't believe we didn't think of that stuff, man.
Yeah.
Like the food truck thing, right? All right. So, anyway, get down to some questions for our Chiefs. And if you have a question out there, 928-854-5687. Make this talk radio, not just listen radio, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. I'm gonna pick on Chief Troy first, since he hasn't been here in a
while.
Let's
go for it.
And I like the shirt.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know what color that is, but I like the shirt. It's a green, right? Like seafoam green?
It really brings out.
Seems like we've had this conversation on the show before.
Oh, boy. It brings out what?
Nothing. Is his nice, shiny head.
Just don't wear it on television.
Yeah.
Because it's a chroma key thing.
Easy right? maintenance.
Yeah,
it would
make them disappear.
I want to talk about Havasu Silent Witness because, you know, with full disclosure, I'm a board member and that. But when do the rewards kick in?
When do the rewards kick in? So
when do you say, you know, there's a reward in this case?
It usually depends on maybe we already have some leads identified. When we have absolutely nothing to go off of, typically we'll send something out to at least, you know, get the ball rolling, maybe lead to some, you know, investigative leads, something to at least, you know, give a spark to the investigation. Not always, but that's a key piece. If we just need some assistance to get us, you know, maybe rolling in the right direction.
That's not pre-diabetes, right? It's pre-cold case, right? It's a pre-cold case
it
at that
be,
point.
Yeah,
I'm
for
just
sure.
Saying.
Yeah.
I'm being a smart aleck.
I think it's one of those that, you know, obviously you have the routine meetings with our liaisons to kind of discuss those, but it's one of those probably resources we could probably use even a little bit more, because that's one cool thing about our community is people do get involved even on the anonymous level, but sometimes those anonymous tips are so huge in sparking an investigative lead to get us to the conclusion.
Well, I'm working on more reward money for all of the silent witness organizations throughout the county. I don't know if you knew that or not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're all nonprofit, of course.
Right.
And what people don't realize is that silent witness is its own entity. It's not the police department that's
correct.
Paying out mm-hmm. those rewards.
Right.
It's not out of your budget or general fund.
Correct.
It's out of the money raised by those silent witness organizations, just like any other 501c3. So, what about new officers? Are you currently recruiting? Do you have new officers coming in?
So we've maintained the police officer, trainee, and laterals as a continuous open recruitment to go along with our dispatcher positions. But currently our academy started yesterday with day zero. We have, Lake Havasu has 9 recruits in this academy, so we're very excited about that number. One of the largest classes the Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy has mm-hmm. in a while. We had 31 recruits started yesterday. So we're, you know, optimistic about this pool of candidates. But with those 9 in the academy, We still have five vacancies, and recruitment's continuous, so we'll gear up for the next academy, which starts in January.
When you talk about laterals, an officer from another department, obviously, right?
Yeah, in-state or out-of-state.
Do they have to go through any sort of training? Not WLEDA, per se, but right. Any other sort of training?
No, if they have at least a year experience as a peace officer, whether it's in-state or out-of-state, we can hire them, and then they have to go through their proficiency skills. So they have to be able to shoot, they have to be able to drive, physical fitness, and then they have to challenge if they're out of state, they have to challenge the Arizona state test. And so that's the process that goes into
that. They can challenge it.
Yeah.
Is there a fee for that?
Nope.
No fees. Good. Because if I'm going to challenge it, something like, I remember when, I don't know, it was insurance or whatever. You got to pay a fee, right? Everything's a fee, it seems like, Chief Palafis.
Yes, all the fees.
I mean, I'll charge you and make you feel better.
Right.
So, Chief, you said 31 candidates are in this process.
Yes.
Is that statewide?
That's really in this western region. So majority of that is going to be Mojave County Sheriff's Office. Bullhead City also has around 9 in the class.
Oh,
wow. So typically we see it, WLEA is the Western Arizona Law Enforcement Association, is the overseeing governing board of WLETA, the academy, right? And so it's essentially a consortium of agencies around the western region, between Mojave County, La Paz County, and even down in Yuma. We have Yuma Police Department that's part of the association as well. So anywhere in between, we get together on a monthly basis to discuss, you know, things going on at the academy level and build that curriculum. And you know, honestly, we're one of the most recognized academies in the state.
Oh, cool.
We're one of the few remaining full stressed academies.
Ever a time that you don't send anybody to WLETA?
We've, knock on wood, the last class we only had one.
Oh.
But usually we have somebody in that class.
Sounds like you have a little turnover, attrition rate, retirements.
Yeah, that's kind of
all
ongoing.
The above, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
That seems to be a constant in this profession, and so we're always trying to catch up, which, you know, kind of leading into, you know, talking about the recruitment efforts, you know, going into this current budget, is one of the things I went after is some civilian patrol support positions. So I was able to get four, thanks to my city manager and council's approval, four police service assistants to go along with our police service assistant apprentice positions. So now we have seven. Huh. Seven civilian positions that we're now recruiting for.
We recently had an officer come up to the station, and he was looking for video coverage of, there was a banner at Wheeler Park, the America 250 banner.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys ever found coverage of that as far as video coverage goes, but anyway, when he left, we said, thank you for your service. Is that common? Do you guys get that a lot
now?
We do
get that a lot.
And you do?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate that. No, we have one of the most very supportive communities for public safety in general. So we're very, very appreciative of that. And that's constantly my messaging to, you know, our employees, that don't ever forget that the trust comes from our community, and we have to always work to maintain that trust. And so that's where that support comes from.
Do you ever find the banner?
Not that I'm aware of. I saw that pass down, and I want to look into that.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
So
cool.
It was stolen, just for the listeners out there.
I think, exactly. I'm going to review this text while we had a text that came in while I ask you for an update for Fire Station 7, Chief Palafis.
Yeah, sure. Fire Station 7, we had our groundbreaking ceremony on July 8th up at Sloop and McCulloch. It was a great turnout from the public, the mayor, city manager, myself. Will Main is our construction individuals that be constructing Station 7, along with Pearlman, which is our architect. We're going to start groundbreaking. We did the groundbreaking ceremony, and hopefully construction will start in August. It's roughly between 11 and 12-month build period, so we're looking forward to getting that started. In April of 2027, thank you to the mayor, city council, and the city manager for approving six individuals for us to hire to staff Station 7. We look forward to, you know, getting our new engine, that's been on order since 2023. We'll finally be getting it in 2027. So right almost in the same exact time that Station 7 will be opening. I look forward to the open house, grand opening of Station 7 when we finish the construction and we're part of the neighborhood and we're able to respond out of Station 7. Station 7 itself has been a long time overdue. It's filling that gap in that region to service that area. We're projecting a roughly about, I've said this before when we talked about it, roughly about 1,500 calls a year coming out of that station. And then what other service needs that we need in that area? We're going to be looking at some redeployment of our resources with our Station 7 that is going to be operating. So it's a great addition to our community. I'm just glad that, just kind of like Troy said, we appreciate the community itself in supporting public safety because we're here, you know, 24/7 for you, and along with our public works department that is, you know, taking care of the street and the water system for us. Those are the three big three. It's fire, I always say, first, police, and then public works to keep the city running.
Yes.
Fire first.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of have a point. I mean, what are we going to do if everything burns down, right?
That's true. But the thing is, remember, it all works together.
If everything burns down, then we have anarchy. Yeah, then we can try. Okay, all seriousness, though, we do have a text, 928-727-5566. This is about something I've seen more and more in social media, and I'm not going to put an opinion out there, but anyway, flock cameras, mm-hmm. all right? It says... Now, I don't know how true this is. Two in Lake Havasu City have been removed and reinstalled because Flock didn't obtain proper permitting and were placed illegally, not the code, which shows their lackadaisical standards as a company. Other than that, also, with all the controversy of police and others using footage in improper ways and many cities canceling Flock contracts, what does Havasu look to do? There's a little addition here. Please don't try and go off on a tangent about safety and security when it is being proven that Flock cameras are a tracking and surveillance mechanism, and people do not like that, even if they are not doing anything wrong. So, there's a little bit of editorial there, but makes a point nonetheless.
Right.
All right. Well, how do you respond to that, Chief?
There's a lot. There's a lot to unpackage here because, yes, this is a hot topic, not just in our state, but states around the country. You know, for our listening public, we've had Flock license plate reader cameras going on probably four years now. We've had 10 of them that we operate through Flock. Mm-hmm. There are private entities out there that also have some license plate reader cameras on in their private properties, but 10 of them are what we utilize. And so, yes, I see the argument on both sides. You know, people don't want to have that constant state of surveillance is what it's described as. And so I think the biggest thing that was there some initial conversation that took place where Flock probably made some errors? I think there was, which caused the controversy. And don't get me wrong, Flock is not the only license plate reader company out there, but they're the ones that tend to get that's what they're referred to in general.
It's the easiest name to remember.
Yeah. It is. It is. And so I think the biggest thing that is coming out of this is the safeguards that are being put in place. And so as an agency, yes, I've watched city council meetings on other areas in our state to kind of keep an eye on what's going on and hearing the conversations. And so we've went ahead and put different safeguards in internally on how it can be used, what it can be used for, and we also maintain audits. So we're checking to make sure that it's not being misused. Now, that's one of the big conversations is, you know, notoriously social media generates the negative pieces of how the technology has been misused, and not necessarily in our area, but other states as well. And so, yeah, it leads to that distrust that we don't want, right?
Correct.
And so because it is a great tool, it just needs to be managed appropriately. And so that's where we're it's being navigated through. You're going to see legislation this next session. There's going to be some additional safeguards mandated during that process. We anticipate that. We're in conversations at the Chief of Police Association level just to make sure that, you know, all of our agencies are we don't want to lose this tool. That's what's kind of the incredible part. Obviously, yeah, I could speak to the cases that we've been able to solve because of this license plate reader technology, but I also understand from the public's perspective that, yeah, we don't want to misuse that and lose that trust factor. So, yeah, we've taken on some internal controls that I'm hoping that we're going to start getting out and we're going to start talking to different groups about this topic. It hasn't, you know, come full circle to our city council yet, but our council has been privy to conversations. My city manager has been privy to these conversations about the success stories that go along with it, right? And so we hope not to lose that tool.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, didn't mean to interrupt you, but just for edification, what do people complain about? What, I mean, are people getting caught in other illegal acts?
No, it's the Big Brother, the 1984, uh-huh. Government surveillance of you. Because essentially these cameras are, you know, the other side of the coin is that you don't have an expectation of privacy in public, right? And that is true. There are some different camera systems that continuously record facial recognition, all those things.
Sure.
The current platform that we are using here in Lake Havasu is strictly a license plate reader, and what this captures is an image of a vehicle. So, in other words, we could do a search if we're looking for, let's say we got a case that involves a blue Honda Accord, mm-hmm. And we don't even have a plate number, but it has, you know, some characteristics that we can look up what cars have hit those 10 cameras in our jurisdiction.
Or partial plate, right?
Or partial plates, exactly.
Oh,
and so it'll hit off of those certain criteria, and then we have to kind of hone that down. Does it, you know, match, does the image match what we're, you know, matches with our investigation,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And so there is clear follow-up that needs to be done. One of the things that has caused some distrust nationwide is that officers had reacted strictly off of the hit on that license plate reader versus doing some investigation get to that, right? And so they've made false arrests, those type of things that, okay, we cannot have that. I understand that lack of trust because of those situations, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
Wow. Well, great answer.
Yeah.
Great question, great answer. Thank you so much for the text.
Is there any fringe benefit available if you weren't operating under those limitations? Like if I shot Paul in field view of one of those cameras.
Well, that's justified.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody knows he has it coming.
Yeah, this doesn't take pictures of those type of things. It's only reading. It's looking for specifically license plates. It's looking for those numbers. But when it captures those, it takes a picture, an image of that vehicle, right?
Okay.
And so it's from the rear.
Uh-huh.
Right, and so it doesn't capture any of the passengers in the vehicles, and so that's why we can't look for people per se based on that. We has to have a nexus to that individual, and so for us the safeguard is that it has to be connected to an active investigation. You just willy-nilly can't go on there and just start searching randomly for, let's say, my ex-girlfriend, right? Those type of things. Because those are the issues that have popped up that leads to that distrust. So we have to have those internal controls there.
With the system as we have it now, mm-hmm. is it a software issue? Could you change the software instructions to the camera system to have it look for your ex-girlfriend, for example?
Well, not image-wise.
Okay.
Okay. Now, are there may be other platforms that I'm not educated enough on to answer that. I'm sure there are other platforms. The current one that we have in our level is not to that.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
It is probably appropriate right now to note that several years ago there was a law passed for license plate frames.
Yes.
And you could not cover the name of the state. In Arizona, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and probably a good reason why.
Yeah.
There's so many plates that are similar now.
It used to be
you had, like in Nevada, you had a blue and white plate. That was it.
And nobody else did.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, oh my goodness,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just these out of state plates, and
let alone Arizona. The options in Arizona with the personalized plates are practically unlimited.
Yeah, I've got a Cardinals plate myself, so
I looked for a color combination and was able to find one.
Right, right. All right, great question. Great answer, in my opinion. And we are again with Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Yeah, Chief Pete's here.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about Flock again if you want to. I mean,
if these guys grab donuts, what do you guys grab? Coffee?
Strawberries and bananas and fruit.
Oh, smoothies.
Those are high sugar content.
Sometimes.
Natural.
Yeah.
Natural.
Might as well eat a donut.
Natural. Lettuce. Well, we don't go to lettuce.
All right. Brother Jim's here as well. Brother Jim Russell from DSM Events.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm Paul Lavoy, back with more in a moment. We're going to play some Gary Allen and Go Watching Airplanes. I'm playing this in honor of the Laughlin Bullhead International Airport. They're in the spotlight today at the supervisors meeting. I don't know if you guys know about this, but if you read the paper, you do.
Yep.
Pretty wild stuff. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. We'll be back on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out. You got a guest talking off mic. That's why I'm not bringing his mic up. So, I just can't play music, Chief Pete.
You can't.
I would love to play more Gary Allen, though.
Sure.
No, I'm playing Watching Airplanes. We're going to have District 2 County Supervisor Rich Lettman on the program a week from this Friday, on my vacation Friday, the one day I didn't want to do Speak Out, right? No, but we've got to get to the bottom, get the brass tacks, the inside baseball on this airport authority that he says is needs some county control. So there you go. I don't want to put words in his mouth. All I know is that when you have Rich Lettman on the show, it's all about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, man. You definitely want to get sweets in the house. So there's going to be plenty of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups here. I might get the little ones because he'll just keep eating them, man. It's like watching someone get intoxicated off chocolate. It's kind of funny. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Mojave Electric Cooperative, by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and by Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, home of the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. So we need to move along here, and we are still taking texts, by the way, 928-727-5566. Or if you'd like to call in and talk to these two guys, I don't call you guys knuckleheads like most guests, but
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I could get arrested.
I feel honored.
I could get arrested or I could get beat up.
That's at least to your faces.
Yes.
Anyway, you want to talk to Chief Pete or Chief Sterling, 928-854-5687. And was it it seemed like a light 4th of July as far as booms in the night go. I mean, it didn't seem like to me.
Yeah.
Or maybe I just have really good insulation in my condo. I don't know.
You must have been sleeping then.
No.
You're a heavy sleeper.
I am a heavy sleeper.
Yeah. So, I mean, 4th of July was, call volume for the fire department. We were about 23% down from last year. And how we keep our stats are basically how 4th of July falls on. Is it a 6-day or 3-day or 4-day?
Oh, sure.
It just depends on when it lands. But since this was a 3-day, well, let's just say weekend, We basically started on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when we track our stats. And we had a incidence for the entire city fire department was 97 compared to 128 last year. When that's still apples for apples for 3 days for 3 days. When we start getting up and into our 6 days, obviously the call volume is going to be a little bit higher. In 2023, we had a 6 day, let's say, weekend for 4th of July, and we ran 171 calls.
Gosh.
So, but the thing is, we're always prepared for those days, having extra staffing down in the channel. We have our fireboat out. I hope individuals, since it was the 250th, we did something special for our rigs. We had actually a sticker celebrating the 250th birthday of America. We had flags, and we still have our flags on our rigs.
Yeah.
Just to show our appreciation for where we live and happy birthday to America.
Greatest country in the world.
It is. Yeah. It is. We had a fire on that beach. It was caused for improper use of fireworks, which is prohibited, the ones that fly. And it started in the Cove area. There was no really risk to individuals. But the thing is, that was still that beach during that time was occupied with people enjoying the beach. So
is that the name of the beach?
It's that beach.
No yeah, kidding.
It is.
All right. Okay.
So we controlled it, or let's just say contained it. Since that state land, state resources do come out, but it's in the city limits. We'll actually do the initial describing it, contain it, and keep it to the area.
Point of pride. Who knocked it down, though? Did the state knock it down, or did you guys?
We did, in combination, because of just the populate of people. It seems like people are just sometimes attracted to fire, and they want to go see what's going on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, overall, we still have to do a better, I'll say, better job. And I think next year, going to take a little bit different approach, especially with these illegal fireworks going off in the neighborhoods and stuff. We can't be everywhere. So I'm going to sit down with Troy and start strategically planning of what we can do to better just caution. Because we're in a drought. We're always in a drought. The thing is, individuals will be upset if there is a house that catches on fire because of fireworks, and they'll always say, well, what did the fire department do about it? I can give education. I can go out. I just don't have the resources to cover all that. And in combination with the PD bringing us together, how can we stop that? It's important. I mean, individuals want to celebrate, but it's still illegal here.
I got it. A lot of donations to Silent Witness and then offer rewards, little $100 and $250 rewards for, hey, where's that firework coming from, right? Who's firing that bottle rocket at my apple tree or whatever?
Yeah.
We don't have those here, but.
But it's just unfortunate when something does happen and it affects someone else.
Uh-huh.
So,
sure.
But, I mean, overall, it was not saying uneventful. We still had some incidents, but we were able to manage it.
I had a neighbor in Fort Mojave back in the I wouldn't say back in the day, but eight years ago, used to aim at houses, like aim at your rooftop.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Lucky it wasn't Shake Shingle House, right?
Yeah.
Clever people.
Or roof. I know. Very clever. Very, very clever. So I want to, you know, it's political season. Unfortunately, tomorrow's the end of the first half of silly season. Thank goodness. But campaign signs, vandalism, and penalties. So what evidence do police need to actually make an arrest in a campaign sign or vandalism case?
Eyewitness.
Okay.
Surveillance footage, anything that we can establish that the person committed that crime.
Guys come out otherwise?
As far as taking reports,
yeah,
we take reports all the time on on that type of, you know, if there's damage or anything like that, you know, actually proving that somebody did it. That's the other piece of that. You know, we have, you know, beginning of the season, we had that one incident that did occur where we did have a witness.
And Lisa Priester.
Yep. She was arrested. But what was kind of interesting on that whole piece, conveniently, just happened to one of our personnel just happened to be driving along the highway in similar time frame as that, and you know, we get those dust devils now and again. Noticed that the wind knocked down several of the signs, you know, so could that be mistaken for criminal damage? It could, obviously, and so that just happened to be, you know, during that same time frame where, no, we can, you know, establish just by a witness account that that wasn't maybe an individual, was caused by Mother Nature. So, but ultimately, no, we want to find, you know, we want this to be a respectful time of the year. This is a, you know, everybody's right to have their opinion, and so we can do it, you know, courteously. And so, unfortunately, one individual took it to the realm that they did, and they were arrested for
a little
that.
Bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. So, yeah. Speaking of which, and this is it's pretty important lately, but social media threats against candidates. There have been actual threats that I've read. They get taken down, but then some don't. But what actually crosses the line in a social media threat or any email threat or against a candidate?
Yeah, I mean, if there's an actual direct threat to an individual, you know, people will report those to us. And really has to be put in context, you know, because there are statements that maybe are made not directly to, let's say, a candidate, but to somebody else.
Right.
And it may be some things are inferred, but it's not a actual direct threat. You know, that's one piece of it. We will look into any of the allegations that are brought forth. Sometimes it comes down to, too, is the opportunity of there? In other words, you know, let's say we actually identify who the suspect is, because people do hide behind fake names, right? And so if we establish who the person is, maybe they don't even reside here. Maybe they reside in the East Coast, but they're making these, you know, kind of threats, you know, via social media. They don't really have the opportunity to commit that crime. And so there's a lot of elements that you got to look at to establish that. And a lot of time it comes down to, too, how does that individual take that? And then do we see that? And sometimes it comes down to, you know, what's our opinion from the law enforcement side? We feel that that has crossed that threshold into the threat realm. And some of them are borderline for sure. So we got to, you know, do our due diligence and really take a look at that.
So, Chief, if somebody says something like, I hope you die.
Right.
But let's say emails it to a specific
right.
person. Does that cross that line into
not necessarily okay. because there's no, you know, it's not saying that they're going to do any
right.
harm to you. They just wish that, and that, you know, that okay. comes down to that. Unfortunately or fortunately, whatever you look at it, that freedom
yeah.
of speech piece that, you know, we
sure.
really have to take a careful eye on.
Boy, a lot of people like to hide behind that, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
The freedom of speech thing. All right, little Elvis. I think it's appropriate today. I have a friend
Certainly.
Who went to Graceland over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
I'm mad at her.
Because she didn't take you?
Because she got to go before I did. Little Poke Salad Annie by Elvis. It's a live performance, by the way. All right, Chief People Office is here. And Chief Troy Sterling from Lake Havasu City, of course. And is the Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si. I wonder who's running the
Actually,
city.
Trace Jefes, because you're in charge where you're at, right?
Well, yeah, smaller world.
All right, Brother Jim Russell here as well. Join us at 928-854-5687. I get tired of asking all the questions, man.
Yeah, it's
you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But I guess they're good
you're
questions.
You're so good so. At it, though.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Got to be good at something.
Does that constitute kissing up?
That's like saying, we finally found something you don't stink at, Paul. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Sing it, darling. Gotta love that, right? Little Elvis doing Suspicious Minds live at Hampton Roads, is what it says. The Hampton Roads Coliseum.
Oh.
Boy, he was fast that night.
Yeah.
Woo! The drummer had to keep up. Elvis is like, come on. Bring it up. All right, Speaking Out brought to you in part by The Chair. Also, Mojave College, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. Also, A&B Propane online at abpropaneaz.com. One of our four sponsors for tomorrow night's primary election returns night. That's our primary election show with myself and Ron Gould. Starts at 8 o'clock. I love I love it and I loathe it. It's a I don't know what you call it, but it's there's a word for it or a phrase for it, and yeah, it's you got to do it, but I love doing it because it's live returns, and you know the first returns that come in at around 8:10 are the early ballots, and then about an hour later are the same day ballots. And it makes you realize who voted for what and when, right?
Sure.
Because there's a lot of change in that time. So usually, I always vote on election day.
I do too.
That flag back there, it'll be just a little bit brighter and a little bit bolder on election day. Always is. So welcome back to the show. We have Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis in the house. And Brother Jim Russell as well.
See.
And you don't know this, but Chief Sterling brought in some statistics, right? Tell us what stats you actually brought in. These are from the police department, right?
Yes. Okay. Same thing as far as the July 4th holiday weekend. Is that what you were asking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so kind of piggybacking off what Chief Pete was talking about, we were about 100 calls less for police department response, but we had, about similar report numbers taken. We had a little more arrest-wise, and the anomaly on the arrest side really came from we had a little more aggressive enforcement on the waterway violations in the Bridgewater Channel. And so all of those Title V or city ordinances that are cited out there are criminal in nature versus a civil citation like you get on the roadway. And so that accounted for, those are considered what we call cite and releases. And so we had 18 of those versus, I don't know, one last year.
I think it was one, yeah.
Yeah, so there was so it's just the aggressive manner that our officers went out and tackled that. Majority of those were out of state individuals, and just we're looking for the no wake violations, bow riding, the ones that are safety oriented, and so they went after those type of citations this time.
And I thought I read it or saw it, or someone was talking about it. There is something to say for rumors, especially true ones, mm-hmm. that people still try to turn around in the channel.
Yeah, it just depends on if it's safe to do so, right?
Okay.
It's kind of like you would do a U-turn on the roadway.
Yeah.
You know, it's a similar type of thing. But you guys, I think everybody, especially our locals, know how congested it gets in that Bridgewater Channel. If you do some type of a maneuver in the middle of the Bridgewater Channel, you are going to... You know, you're going to interfere with navigation, and
right.
so that's a big thing down there. Hmm. And so, talking years past, like it'd almost be an idea to do a one-way channel, during those specific time frames.
Uh-huh.
And so, just conversations that have been out there
really?
In the past.
I didn't know about that.
It's kind of maintain that safety piece of that. But one thing as far as stats go, one interesting, following up on the fireworks piece, we had about 20 less calls for fireworks complaints this year. But I know during, around my house, it was very loud this year. It's one of those things. What ends up happening is we get a lot of anonymous calls that fireworks are going off in my neighborhood. And so that's based on if we have officers in the area. But if we have anonymous complaints, the resources it takes to get to those type of calls to potentially try to find a culprit is very difficult. And so that's why the stats are very low on being able to cite people for those offenses. And yes, Chief Pete and I will be talking about it. I already have plans. We have drone technology. We're going to look at trying to get an operation together next year to really be a little more aggressive on trying to track those down. We had a couple incidents this year, one being the fire at that beach. And that's what the potential hazards are, let alone, the noise complaints, our veterans that have PTSD, the animals, affects a lot
yes.
of animals, right? And so we get those type of complaints all the time, and it would be nice to be able to try to utilize the technology we have to be able to put together some operations to help combat that.
Okay. We're getting another text for flock cameras, believe it or not. But we've already gone over it. We covered it over and over and over again. So, good time of year, too. We've got about time for one more question. Lake safety. People jumping off of boats into the water, no life jacket. Oh, where did so-and-so go? Has he come up yet? You know, I mean, it's something happens every year. I haven't seen any stats for drowning in the lake lately. It seems like they're down.
They appear to be down. I haven't really have any incidences, or I haven't talked to Mojave Sheriff in regards to their stats. But another I want to say, let's talk. I think we talk about drowning. We talk about lake safety. Let's talk about in 10 days when school starts in the school zones and the kids getting back to school.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that's everything is important. And they actually, the fire department, we're trying to actually come up a monthly theme now of public safety educational messages that we can get out to the public. We've been hitting hard with the desert rescues or the going hiking when it's 110 degrees. And again, it's not it's majority of the time, it's not our locals, it's our guests that come out and think, oh, you know what, I'm going to go for a 3-mile hike. They just don't appreciate sometimes the desert or the environment they're in. But getting back to the schools, we're starting school in session. This combination with the police and fire to make sure you drive safe in the school zones. I know when I used to take my kids to school, I'd always see Troy's police officer, same time, right in front of Jamaica, sitting there. And it's just good visual to be safe. And, you know, these are our next future leaders and individuals that are living here. We need to take care of them. So just be patient and slow down.
Okay. So the 5-mile-an-hour rule doesn't exactly work in a school zone, does it, Chief?
The 5-mile-an-hour?
Yeah. You know, stay 5 miles. If it's 55, you can go 60. Oh. I mean, then people generally do. I know people that follow that rule. You know, I'm not incriminating
myself.
The 5-second
rule, yeah.
No, not the 5-second rule, the 5-mile-an-hour rule.
How about this?
I know that one.
Be responsible, all right? Yes. Let's watch out for our youth out there during this school season. Yes, it's hard to believe it's already here.
Folks, keep it under the speed limit in a school zone. How's that?
Hey, one safety mess PSA I can send out.
Go for it.
Obviously, with the election day at the polling sites tomorrow, is drones. People, you know, same type of thing. There's that 75-foot rule, and that includes airspace that people cannot, you know, be advertising, promoting candidates, expressing opinions via drones. It still follows that 75-foot rule. So I know it's just, you know, starting to be used more and more places, and that's just something that we need to be cognizant of as well.
Wow. You know what this means, right, with the hand going from one side to the other? The more you know. The more you know, like NBC. Oh, I had no idea. That's a new one on me.
Yeah.
All right. I might end up on the news tomorrow.
Very good.
Excellent. All right. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, for having us. Yeah.
One more thing. Let's thank these gentlemen for their service.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think you just did.
Yeah, I think we did.
Thanks for your service, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank
All right. I'm going to take it right up to the top of the hour. And Sean Hannity coming up after news and a short break. Brother Jim, thank you so much for being here.
A pleasure.
All right.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.